Welcome to Nice News. This is a broadcast about some unusual topics. I'm Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds Up Arizona volunteer broadcaster. On Nice News, we cover information from all parts of the world on many different topics. The program provides a time out from the daily news that doesn't always cover the happiest of information. So please, give us a listen. Who knows what might give you a laugh or cause you to remember something from another era, or even pique your interest, such as this article, Police Use Google Translate to Help a Woman Deliver a Baby in Her Car. In a heartwarming incident in New Jersey, two police officers found themselves in an extraordinary situation that showcased their quick thinking and compassion. When a civilian rushed into the Woodstown Police Department, the officers were prepared for various emergencies, but nothing could have prepared them for what awaited them. Officers Benjamin Haynes and Gabrielle Chiarelli followed the man who was communicating through gestures and shouts to his car. To their surprise, they discovered a woman in labor who, like her partner, did not speak English. Reflecting on that moment, Chiarelli said, "We weren't really expecting that, especially the baby coming out when we opened the car door." With time of the essence, the officers sprang into action using their phones to access Google Translate for instructions. When that didn't suffice, they relied on gestures to guide the mother through the process. Haynes recalled the simple yet crucial advice he offered. "I just told her to breathe and to push." Miraculously, with their support, she delivered a healthy baby girl. By the time the medics arrived, the officers had already wrapped mother and child in blankets, ensuring a warm and safe start to the baby's life. Officers, despite having no formal training in childbirth, felt a deep sense of fulfillment in helping someone in need, demonstrating the very essence of their role in the community. Their station chief commended their excellent response, highlighting the dedication and selflessness that defines their service. This article, Police Use Google Translate to Help Woman Deliver Baby in Her Car. Jeffrey Schaefer, Alex Turnbull, and John Leicester write this article. Picture this. A raffle offers a Picasso for 100 euros to fund Alzheimer's research. Dateline Paris. Are you feeling lucky? A raffle in France is offering the chance to win a portrait by Pablo Picasso for the price of 100 euros, which is $117, a ticket, which proceeds going to Alzheimer's research. The draw is on Tuesday at Christie's Auction House in Paris. The inaugural One Picasso for 100 Euros raffle in 2013 saw a fire sprinkler worker in Pennsylvania win Man in the Opera Hat, which the Spanish master painted in 1914 during his Cubist period. A second Picasso, the oil on canvas Nature Morte, was raffled off in 2020 and made a very happy mom of Claudia Burgondegon, an accountant in Italy. Her son bought her the ticket as a Christmas present. That still life, painted in 1929, was purchased for the raffle from billionaire art collector David Namad, who argued in a rare Associated Press interview that Picasso would have approved of raffling his work. Picasso died in 1973. Picasso was very generous. He gave paintings to his driver, his tailor. He wanted his art to be collected by all kinds of people, not only by the super rich. The gouache on paper, tête de femme, meaning head of a woman, up for grabs next week, was painted by Picasso in 1941. The Alzheimer Research Foundation, the charity's raffle organizer, is based in one of Paris's leading public hospitals and says it has become France's leading private financier of Alzheimer-related medical research since its founding in 2004. Christie's Auction House says the painting will be on view at its galleries in Paris from 6 p.m. on. The organizer's online sales platform says the number of tickets will be capped at 120,000, meaning the draw could net 12 million euros or $14 million if they're all sold. From the proceeds, 1 million euros will be paid to the Opera Gallery, an international art dealership that owns the painting. Organizers say the two previous Picasso raffles raised a total of more than 10 million euros for cultural work in Lebanon and water and hygiene programs in Africa. This article, written by Jeffrey Schaefer, Alex Turnbull, and John Leicester, picture this. A raffle offers a Picasso for 100 euros to fund Alzheimer's research. Margarita Basil writes, injured turtle gets a second chance on four wheels. Installing wheels on a tortoise might seem like a cruel joke, but a veterinary practice in the Philippines recently did so to help out an Aldabra giant tortoise with troubled hind legs. As the name suggests, the tortoises are among the largest land tortoises, also referred to as the Aldabra tortoise or giant tortoise. The reptile can weigh up to 550 pounds and can live over 150 years. Interestingly, Charles Darwin, among others, worked to protect the species. The tortoise in question lived at a private zoo, but its legs weren't working properly. The zoo referred the case to Nielsen Donato, chief surgeon at Vets in Practice, a veterinary practice with 7 locations in Metro Manila. Donato and his team did x-rays on their large patient, but didn't detect dislocations or fractures. Mostly we think it could be weakness of the hind legs. It could be a neurological problem, Donato told us in Popular Science. Probably there were other companions, which sometimes when they try to hump on each other or mount on each other, this can cause trauma to the hind legs, and it took a while for it to recover. The mounting can represent either playful or mating behavior. The team started treating the issue with anti-inflammatory laser therapy, but then also did something that might be surprising. They installed 4 wheels on its plastron, the part of the shell beneath the tortoise and turtle. A social media video features the tortoise looking rather bewildered as Donata installs its bright orange wheels on its underside. We measured the height. Initially, it looked like it was too tall, but we wanted to put less pressure on the legs, and this would also allow it to have a better range of motion when it tries to walk, Donato explained. As soon as they put the tortoise with its newly acquired roller powers back on the ground, it showed some improvement with its mobility, and we sent it home. After some time, the wheels were removed, and the tortoise went back to walking normally. This article, written by Margarita Bessel, injured turtle gets a second chance on 4 wheels. Gabby Romero writes, McDonald's almost sold this fruity sandwich instead of the filet of fish. One of the trademark sandwiches at McDonald's is the filet of fish, and whether you love it or hate it, you can't deny that it's a fast food icon. The filet of fish first graced the chain's menu in the early 60s as pescatarian option for Catholic customers observing Lent. While the sandwich's origins are well known, many McDonald's fans don't know the whole story. It's hard to believe, but an entirely different sandwich almost became the main meat-free option on the menu. The ever-polarizing Filet-O-Fish has skeptics even when it was first developed over 60 years ago. The chain's founder, Ray Kroc, was so uncertain about the seafood idea that he proposed a menu item of his own, the Hula Burger. The Hula Burger is made with a thick slice of grilled pineapple and American cheese on a bun. I'll give you a second to process that. While the ingredients seem random, the combination makes more sense in context. The mid-20th century is considered the peak of the Hawaiian pineapple industry. The once rare fruit became a fixture in American kitchens. It appeared in both sweet and savory dishes. In fact, Hawaiian pizza was invented in 1962, the same year as the Hula Burger. To decide which of the two became a permanent offering, McDonald's organized a head-to-head competition at a small number of its locations. The sandwich with the most sales earned the coveted spot on the menu. And you guessed it, that was the filet of fish. This article, written by Gabby Romero, McDonald's almost sold this fruity sandwich instead of the filet of fish. Our next article, plow driver saves 2 dogs in a blizzard. In a heartwarming tale of compassion and bravery, a snowplow driver named Kenny McGowan found himself in a remarkable situation while navigating through challenging water conditions in Long Island. As he maneuvered his plow through near whiteout conditions, he noticed something extraordinary in his peripheral vision. Kenny, who has encountered various hidden obstacles during his time driving the snowplow, spotted two small figures darting across the icy snow-covered road. I looked over, and I saw a dog running, he recounted. Instantly feeling a surge of protectiveness, I immediately put my sirens on and stayed right behind them. Being an animal lover, being a father, I went right into protection mode. I was going to do whatever I had to do to stop these dogs from getting hurt. With determination, Kenny skillfully maneuvered his plow to block the dog's path, guiding them away from danger. The dogs, sensing safety, ran into a nearby median and nestled themselves in a cozy pile of snow. Fortunately, several Good Samaritans, curious about the commotion, or perhaps drawn by the sight of the dogs, joined in to help. Together, they assisted Kenny in safely ushering the two uncolored Labrador mixes into the back of his truck. Kenny then brought the furry duo to an animal shelter, where the staff quickly recognized the urgency of the situation. They informed him that the dogs had been at risk of freezing had they remained hidden in the snow. Upon arrival, it was evident that the two dogs shared a deep bond, staying close to each other at all times, prompting the shelter staff to keep them together. Though the dogs lacked collars, they were microchipped, allowing the shelter to contact the grateful owners. That evening, the dogs were joyfully reunited with their family, returning to the warmth and comfort of their home. This article, Plow Driver Saves Two Dogs in a Blizzard. Rebecca Brandis writes, How a New York City Woman's Handwritten Signs Bring Out the Best in Strangers. Quote, Tell Me Your Good News, unquote. When Megan Kevney didn't get a great response to the flyers she posted asking strangers to share their good news using a QR code, the New York City transplant opted for a more direct approach. She took a black marker to some poster board and wrote, quote, Tell me something good, unquote. Then she stood on the sidewalk with her phone ready to record, held up the sign, and hoped for the best. I got so fed up with doom scrolling that I was down to try anything to spread some goodness in any way that I could get my hands on, Kevney, 34, told Nice News in an email. And judging by the reception her videos received on TikTok and Instagram, she had over 78,000 followers under the handle @signswithmeg. The idea is working. Originally from Dallas, Kevney is a full-time social media consultant, so she's actually aware of what a negative place the internet often is. Her goal is to remind people it doesn't have to be negative. I want to build spaces for us to take deep breaths together and to learn to celebrate one another as human beings again, she said, adding, I think there's a collective craving for belonging in times like this. The sign she now holds up most frequently reads, Tell me your good news. And the responses are often light and sweet, such as, My daughter got Pinocchio in the school play today. Others carry a little more heft. My good news is I just got out of rehab and I'm 42 days clean, one man told Kevney. Positive tidings flood the comment section of the videos as well. My good news is I'm cancer-free, someone wrote earlier this year. Kevney's endeavoring enthusiasm about the good news she receives is about as heartwarming as the news itself. Oh my God, wait, that's amazing news, she squealed happily after a woman in Central Park announced she'd recently got into character animation and has a cartoon coming out. The most meaningful interactions are when people share vulnerable stories about health issues or struggles with mental health, Kevney said in her email. I think it's beautiful for someone to invite me and a bunch of other strangers into these situations because it's really powerful to find hope together. Of course, not everyone rushes up to talk to her when she stands outside with her signs, but she's okay with being ignored and feeling a bit self-conscious sometimes. The overall payoff is worth it. It's completely deepened the love I have for myself and the openness I have toward others. I feel pretty vulnerable putting myself out there some days, but I just love humans so much. I'm willing to slightly embarrass myself in an effort to bring us all back together again, Kevney shared. We all need each other more than we realize. She added, my hope is that people are able to watch these videos and find a deeper appreciation for the rich inner worlds we all carry around with us each day. Rebecca Brandis wrote, how a New York City woman's handwritten signs bring out the best in strangers, quote, tell me your good news, unquote. Alaska court protects America's largest rainforest from logging. In a heartwarming turn of events for the natural world, an Alaska District Court judge has made a decision that safeguards the majestic old-growth forests of Tongass National Forest from logging interests. This remarkable forest, celebrated as the largest natural forest in the United States and the world's largest temperate forest, serves as a vital sanctuary for a diverse array of wildlife, including the iconic bald eagle, the graceful sperm whale, the playful Steller's sea lion, and the elusive Haida ermine. A coalition of logging companies, including the Alaska Forest Association, Viking Lumber Company, Inc., Alcan Timber Incorporated, filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Forest Service in hopes of accessing the precious timber of Tongass. However, their efforts were met with a resounding dismissal from Judge Sharon L. Gleason, who granted the motion to dismiss with prejudice. This means that the plaintiffs cannot bring the same case against these parties again, a positive outcome for the preservation of this vital ecosystem. This ruling is a big victory for the Tongass Old Growth Forests, expressed Marley Goska, Alaska attorney for the Center for Biological Diversity. She emphasized the importance of keeping Tongass intact for the benefit of wildlife, climate, and local communities. The court's decision reflects a commitment to protect the environment from unnecessary threats. The lawsuit centered around regulations from 2016 and 2021, as well as the Tongass Timber Reform Act of 1990, which aimed to balance market demand with sustainable practices. The 2016 forest plan allowed for limited logging, but the USDA's 2021 Southeast Alaska Sustainability Strategy took a significant step forward by ending old-growth logging in the region, except for tribal needs. While the plaintiffs argued that the logging levels had not met the stated demand, the defendants clarified that regulations simply conveyed a broad objective rather than a strict quota. Judge Gleason agreed, finding that the 2016 plan did not mandate logging amounts, but instead set a cap. The decision brings a renewed hope for the old-growth forests of Tongass, ensuring that they continue to thrive and support the rich biodiversity that relies upon them. The court's ruling stands as a testament to the efforts of local communities and environmental groups advocating for the preservation of these irreplaceable natural treasures. Together, we celebrate the victory for nature and look forward to a future where the beauty of Tongass National Forest remains intact for generations to come. Alaska Court Protects America's Largest Rainforest from Logging is the title of this article. Floating artificial leaves makes clean fuel from sunlight and water. Kate Daniel writes the article. Researchers at the University of Cambridge in England have developed a new kind of flower power, creating artificial leaves that convert energy from sunlight and water into clean fuel. Scientists said they gleaned inspiration from Mother Nature. The lightweight, flexible devices work similarly to photosynthesis, the process by which green plants convert sunlight into food. And tests of the prototypes on the River Cam showed they work just as efficiently as real leaves. Our artificial leaves work similarly to plant leaves. However, instead of sugars, we are producing useful chemicals. Unlike solar panels, which convert solar energy into electricity, the Cambridge researchers' technology uses two different kinds of fuel in the cells to produce a chemical reaction that turns sunlight into synthetic gas. The new process is a major milestone for science. It's the first time clean fuel has been generated on water. Also called syngas, the synthetic fuel is made of hydrogen and carbon monoxide molecules. Tests of the new artificial leaves show that they can split water into hydrogen and oxygen or reduce CO2 to syngas. Manufacturers often use it to produce other fuels like methanol and diesel, but it can also be used as a fuel itself and may provide a cleaner alternative to natural gas and oil. The problem is that syngas is usually created using fossil fuel. The process emits significant amounts of carbon dioxide. The artificial leaves, on the other hand, do not produce any such emission. Researchers hope that because the devices are low cost and buoyant, a scaled-up version of the prototype could be used on polluted waterways, in ports, or out on the ocean to help decrease the shipping industry's carbon footprint. Cambridge notes that although green energy solutions such as wind and solar are less expensive and more accessible than ever, specific industries like shipping are still struggling to decarbonize. Since about 80% of international trade involves vessels powered by fossil fuel, switching to syngas could significantly reduce worldwide carbon emissions. Most artificial leaf prototypes are quite complex and can only produce fuels on a small laboratory scale. Here we wanted to redesign the leaf structure in order to make them compatible with scalable fabrication methods and materials and ultimately suitable for real-world application. They found a way to trim down the device's materials to reduce its weight without affecting performance. As a result, our devices became so light that they were able to float on water, similar to lotus leaves. While the team says more research and testing is needed to perfect the prototypes, the new design opens up a whole new way that these artificial leaves could possibly be used. The article written by Kate Daniel, Floating Artificial Leaves Make Clean Fuel from Sunlight and Water. And here is one of the funniest articles I've read in a long time. University celebrates 60th birthday by breaking world record. Now listen closely. For the largest gathering of people dressed as dinosaurs. Kimberly Speakman writes the article. This university in Canada is going to the dinos. To celebrate its 60th anniversary, the University of Calgary in Canada set out to break a unique world record, the largest gathering of people dressed as dinosaurs. On April 11th, that's exactly what they did. According to the record-keeping organization website, they were 682 people dressed as dinosaurs during their community day, which eclipsed the previous record held by Cox Science Center, an aquarium in West Palm Beach, Florida. The record was 468. We broke it, University of Calgary Vice Provost Verity Turpin told the Canadian Broadcasting System. So we are record holders with 682 people dressed in dinosaur costumes. The university had set out to break the record in its celebration of its milestone birthday and encouraged its students, faculty, staff, alumni, donors, and community members to don dinosaur costumes to participate in its Rex Jurassic Jamboree. People showed up in some fabulous onesies and blow-up dinosaurs where you could not see any part of the person inside except for their feet. University employee Laura Wan, who dressed up alongside her dog Ollie, said that there were several reasons why she decided to take part in the event. It's a chance to make history. It's awesome to be a part of it. The other side of me is I just want a really good chance to wear a crazy outfit. Hundreds of UC community members gathered outside the university's Taylor Family Digital Library as they waited for an official adjudicator with Guinness to do the count and make the announcement. While the adjudicator counted, the UC community members danced to songs from local a cappella group named Hebe Jeebe and to We Are the Champions by Queen. As soon as we heard Guinness say six, we knew we broke the record, and no one listened to anything after that. We were all screaming and hugging each other. It was awesome. The old record is extinct, UC's president and vice chancellor Ed McCauley joked to the Calgary Herald. This is just a great example of the University of Calgary and our Calgary community coming together to set a world record. To celebrate, the university will display a plaque of the achievement Nicole shared, noting that it's got to be put somewhere prominent because this is set by the Calgary community. This article, written by Kimberly Speakman, University celebrates 60th birthday by breaking the world record for the largest gathering of people dressed as dinosaurs. We're at the end of today's Nice News program, and I'd like to leave you with this quote of the day by Kobayashi Issa. Under cherry blossoms shade, even those whom we don't know are not strangers. Kobayashi Issa. I hope you enjoyed today's articles. Please join us again next time when we cover some very unusual and hopefully interesting topics on Nice News. This has been Joyce Vesper, your volunteer broadcaster for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Stay healthy, everyone. Be well and be happy. Bye-bye.